This is a public service announcement on behalf of Tom Torero from inside a Japanese airport toilet before the usual podcast begins. Mr. Peter McCallum from Glasgow, Scotland, congratulations, sir. You win the Below the Belt paperback. Copy it will be posted to you as soon as possible. And secondly, in next week's podcast, Tom is doing a deep dive into his sizable mailbag, so leave any questions you have for a Q&A, however perverted, below in the YouTube or blog post comments section. Right, with that out of the way, back to our usual schedule.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. This is podcast episode 173. Tom Torero. And playing us in there, a band. Can you name the band? No, it's not James Brown, although it sounds like James Brown. That was the Average White Band, giving us today's title, Pick Up the Pieces. When you're on the floor with your day game mission and you've had your arse handed to you, or as Tim here would say, your arse handed to you.
Arse.
That's right. What do you do? How do you recover on a day game mission? Does it end in glory? Does it end in crying? We're on the last day of our Japanese day game mission, and all will be revealed in today's podcast. Pick up the pieces. That band was from where, Timothy?
Dundee.
Dundee, aye. And I heard you're from Scotland, is that right?
I'm nae from Scotland, but I grew up in Scotland.
Where were you born?
I was born in Kent.
Oh dear. All right, what a mix. And you had a bit of a childhood in, was it Belgium?
Secondary school in Belgium. Up to 10 years in Scotland.
Sounds like a prison sentence. Yes. What a cocktail of wonder. And that was the Average White Band playing Pick Up the Pieces. And yeah, they're from Dundee. Who'd have thought Dundee can do funk? What the funk?
I've no idea.
Well, you might recognise Timothy's voice. This is Tim. I've been to Japan with you 3 times.
That's right.
Sadly, you weren't here last year. I was just left with Ian in Kyoto. You know, a pale shadow of a Tim replacement. No, it was good with Ian. But with Tim, the first time you might have heard Tim was in Bath. We did a podcast on Small Town Day Game. The second time was, did we do one in Tokyo?
I don't think we did in Tokyo. No.
Well, I recorded a podcast. I didn't invite you on.
No, that's a good idea.
So when was the next podcast? Was it our second Japanese trip?
No, that was in Kiev.
I remember lying there listening to Tim making Sweet Love, a same day delay. And then we did do one on our second Japanese trip, didn't we? Which was in a mystery city south of Tokyo.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that was a good year. We got laid in separately in Tokyo, but in this second Japanese mission, we thought we figured it out. We were the kings of the castle. Mm-hmm. You had a same-day lay, I remember, and a same-day delay.
That's right.
So that was a magnificent trip. Then the third year was Osaka last year. And this year, we chose a chilly city, north of Tokyo, let's say. Yeah. And we had high hopes. We agreed to do a certain amount of approaches. We kind of thought it was going to be the same data as years 1, 2, and for me, 3. But all didn't go to plan. Is that fair to say?
That's true, Mrs. Wilson. And can I say what a lovely cardigan you have?
Thank you, Marjorie. There's many explanations to be had for Tim's running jokes, mm-hmm. but I appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that he's brought a, is it plastic? Rubber? A rubbery slug. Mm-hmm. Tim, you had one of these before.
I did, yes.
You lost it.
He got stolen, actually, slug-napped.
By a bird?
A Chinese bird, yes, in Shanghai.
And it was a kind of a lucky slug for you, the first one.
He was, yes, very lucky.
And you took photos of the slug on girls' bodies with their permission. They seemed to like the slug trails.
They did. They loved Mr. Squishy.
And anyway, Mr. Squishy was stolen. And you, before this Japanese trip, Tim said, can you order Mr. Squishy number 2 off Amazon? So we've just found out he was made in Taiwan and he came to Wales. And I brought him to Japan and you're about to take him to China. And I was looking at this slug for the past 2 weeks thinking, this is just a fucking bad omen. Timothy, right? Because the topic of today is picking up the pieces as in a disaster. A day game mission has highs and lows. It's a roller coaster, and of course you get rejections and flakes, and you expect a few dodgy dates. But you know, there's disaster, and then there's mental collapse. And it's hard enough, I always say, Tim, stop stroking your slug. It's hard enough if you're, if you kind of got an average stable mind. I'm not saying you're unstable, Tim, but
unstable.
Okay, you said it. On other podcasts, you said about not just your history with anxiety, mainly depression, medication, but that it, the fact that it's ongoing.
That's right, yes. I'm about as stable as...
as the slug.
The slug that's been placed on your knee.
Yes. So I was thinking as we got into the end of week one of this trip, fucking hell, I'm struggling here, you know, taste of my own medicine. When I was saying to you, oh, you know, flakes are normal, we've got to wait till the end of the trip. But fuck, we were going through... we were going through blowouts. You were having blowouts. We were collecting numbers, and we were getting more flakes on this trip than usual.
That's right, yes.
I was going early on some kind of shitty afternoon Starbucks dates where the mum would turn up or the friend would turn up, and I was thinking, okay, this is a bit more than normal. Nothing was really happening by coming up to the end of week one. And then we went from a low, thinking, oh my God, this city might not work, to a, what we thought was going to be a lay for each of us separately. So do you want to talk about the first peak at the end of week one for you?
Yes, this was an approach in a shop, actually, a shop assistant.
I didn't know it was a shop assistant.
It was, yeah, in Gap, actually.
She did have a Gap, and she was 23?
24.
Oh, I let you off. And first date was?
I was planning to take her to a bar, but the bar I was going to take her to was closed. It wasn't open yet. So I had to take her to a different place.
And you suggested the bounce back. You said to me, Tom, I'm bouncing.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't come in.
That's right, yes.
So... you set up a second date of...
Yes, for the local bar we've been going to where we play pool and...
Right, eat, next to our house.
Yes, eat dodgy deep-fried onion rings.
Yeah.
And
you know, food in Japan's pretty good, but that bar's shockingly deep-fried.
Yes.
But anyway, and from there, you got her back to the apartment on second date.
On the second date, yes.
Or with a little walk in the park.
Walk in the park first, then back to the apartment straight away, yes.
So you're thinking, right, this is it, finally, end of week one, going to get laid here.
Yes.
And clothes were coming off. You got her into your bedroom, off and on, off and on.
That's right. You were away on a trip somewhere else, so I had your whole apartment to myself so I could take her into the lounge and watch a film, so easier than just taking her directly into the bedroom.
Yeah. Oh, it all happened here, did it? On this sticky sofa?
On this sticky sofa, yes.
Oh, good, good. I thought that was a slug trail.
No, no. That was all me.
Okay, so you're thinking this is good?
Yes.
About to send Tom the ha-ha message?
Yes, trying to make out on the sofa. Clothes started to come off. She seemed to be up for it. Then got to the stage of removing underwear, and then just suddenly she said... No, she just started talking in Japanese. She couldn't translate it into English. Then I think she used her phone and just said, not in the mood, and left.
So, left with your dick in your hand, quite literally. Blue balls. And isn't, you know, when guys worry about approach anxiety or maybe she's going to walk past me, that's nothing, is it, compared to a date flake, but then a girl in your apartment, semi-naked, and not getting laid.
Yes.
That's a low.
That's true. For me, actually, getting to that stage is actually... I feel quite good getting to that stage because I don't often get that far, so...
But you weren't frustrated sitting here alone? Tommy was away?
A little bit, although I actually just snuck around your bedroom and looked in your underwear drawer.
Well, that's what most people do. Understandable in times of need. And meanwhile, I was... excuse me. I was in a nearby city,
simultaneously also being quite cocky initially, because a girl had I'd met this girl in the city where we're in now, and she had said, look, I'm going to this neighboring city to do a motorbike course, do you want to spend the evening with me, basically? And I showed you the messages and I couldn't believe it. And we were like, well, this is clearly on, she's probably got a boyfriend here or a husband here. So I took a train, perhaps over investing, to a nearby city, and she turned up all tarted up, and the drinks were flowing, and I thought this was amazing. And you know, whenever you think a day game lay is in the bag, it's not in the bag. And we were making out in the second venue, and then I got her back to my pokey hotel room by the train station, and fooling around, got a lovely hand job, and she just said no, she's on her period. And I had my hand down her jeans a little bit, and she had a like a pad. She wasn't telling porcupines, and she just wasn't happy. Some girls are with sex on the period, she wasn't. So when she left, because she had to go back to where she was staying, ready for her motorcycle course in the morning, I did lie on the bed just thinking, fuck, that's like, A, that was over investment, B, I was overly cocky because I presumed it was a lay, and C, you would message me, you know, how did it go? And I did just think, fuck, okay, that's the end of week one. And back to square one. We had got tired of the flakes, but I thought, right, I got to pick myself up, pick up the pieces, go, come back to the city. And we had a chat, do you remember? Just to say, play on.
Yes.
Back to square one, quite literally, go out again and do the same number of approaches. Again, collect the same number of numbers. 'Cause all the numbers we'd got by then were fizzling out, they were dead ends, they were time wasters. So, and I couldn't see why, because the day game was all the same as ever. They were keen, weren't they, when your number closed?
Yes.
They would even agree when you said.
And you had a lovely cardigan on.
I had my floral Debenhams cardigan on.
Is it Marks and Spencer's?
That's the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the Tokyo one.
They've got some lovely stuff there, haven't they?
Yeah, it's like Christmas sale. Mm. So how did you feel going into that second week, Timothy, trying to keep you on track? And be honest.
Very up and down. I was having some sessions where I was going out and kind of thinking about jumping off the top of a department store. Sometimes it was okay. Sometimes it was just like going into hell. Because this place where we day game, it was very intense. You go into this big tunnel underground. There's masses of people and it's kind of overwhelming.
Yeah, the because of the temperatures here, the outdoor day game and the layout of the city, the outdoor day game was pretty non-existent. So you either have to go into a tunnel, a shop, or a train station. Mm-hmm. And that volume of people,
yes,
spins your mind.
Yes, you can't take it all in, all the people coming at you, sort of, it's like being in the middle of a nightclub almost.
And the temperatures were plummeting. Mm-hmm. We had run out of our supply of Tim Tam biscuits that Tim had brought all the way from China.
That's right, Tim Tam biscuits.
Yep, sponsoring this episode of the podcast.
Mr. Squishy was laughing at us.
Yeah, this fucking slug that Tim kept on hiding in various parts of the apartment. I picked him up and I said, Tim, this is a bad omen. And by the end of the week two, if we don't get further than we are now, I'm going to burn him. And Tim was a bit shocked. The slug was a bit shocked.
Yes.
Could we snatch victory from the jaws
of tentacles.
From the tentacles of defeat? Mm-hmm. And at this point, I really had to say, Tom, you need to swallow your own medicine, because I'd been nagging you like, come on, Tim, we need to keep going out, zoom out. It's all normal. Flakes are normal. But I was starting to think, fuck, how many more girls are going to arrange a date and then flake? Tim, stop distracting me. He's waving his slug. I'm going to hide him by my tea. What a mighty slug that is. So we look at the cheesy quotes, things like, in order to succeed, you must dare to fail. That's pretty cheesy, isn't it?
Yes.
The second cheesy quote of today is, courage is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. And do you know which day gamer said that? Winston Churchill.
Yes.
Oh. One of the original London day gamers. And finally, failure, said Henry Ford, is the opportunity to begin again, only this time more wisely. Mm. So what did we change in the second week when I was saying to you, right, fuck, we need to change up the strategy a little bit? Yeah, you were doing sets in Japanese. And how were we changing the sets?
We were trying to go for instant dates and also trying to get the girls to agree to a time and for meeting.
Yep. Yeah, so not just taking the number, but saying, look, are you free tomorrow? Or when are you free? Or do you like beer or coffee? Or trying to set up the date and trying to instant date.
Do you like slugs as well?
Yes. Are you ready for Tim to leave a slug trail over your body? And this one lonely Tim Tam biscuit was sitting on the table because we'd been having many Tim Tams for breakfast. And you quite sadly left the Tim Tam on the side and said, whoever gets laid first can eat the final Tim Tam. And it was counting down now. The days were counting down and the weather was getting colder. And I was looking at that fucking slug saying, right, he's going to get it now. And I kept saying, because we're surrounded by these lovely temples near us. And I said, I'm going to take him and just burn him as an offering to the deity gods. This is getting really bad. And so we got to yesterday, which was a Sunday. And this was really the end of our trip. Today's just today and tomorrow, just kind of touristy days. But we were saying this is our last day of day game. Yep. And shall I go first about my 3 o'clock date?
Hey.
Oh, no. No. We got to talk about the morning because this is interesting. I woke up feeling sleepy and shit and groggy. And you were feeling good on the Sunday morning.
I was feeling okay. Why were you feeling groggy? I
can't remember. What happened Saturday night?
Saturday night, on Saturday evening, we met in that pub and we were in a bad mood about the day's day game.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we were grumbling. Mm-hmm. And we had postponed a little trip to say, look, we're gonna do we say try a bit more? No, we're gonna have a break, we said.
Yeah, we were going to go to that mountain.
And say we're gonna have a break on the Sunday, get our energy back and try and finish this mission for the final couple of days. But I said on yesterday, I think we should stay here because I've got a date at 3 PM and it looks like I've got a date at 9:30 PM. Suddenly these numbers came back to life. So we said, okay, we'll do some day game. I woke up, I was feeling shit. We went to a nearby university area and you closed one, didn't you?
I did, yes.
I was in a bad mood. I wasn't doing any day game. And suddenly we walked past this sign on a shop window. And what roughly did this massive sign say?
It said something about making your date with destiny.
Yeah, it was like a big Tony Robbins kind of quote in bad Japanese English translation about today, lucky day. Luck day, today, date, destiny. Mm. And I looked at you, Tim, and I said, today's the lucky day. So anyway, I went on this afternoon date, which they've been bad ideas here in Japan. I've just done them because girls have been so busy. She said, okay, I can meet you in the middle of the afternoon for a coffee. And I wouldn't normally do this, but I said, okay, met her and it was on. Big eyes, touching, sexual topics. But then 1 hour into the date, she just said, oh, now I go. I meet my mother. Bye-bye, see you next time, bye. So I was like, fuck, okay. Well, that's one option left for this evening. With a dental nurse that you saw me stop the previous day or a couple of days before.
Yep.
It was a rare street stop because it's been cold here. And it was a shit set. It was a throwaway number, but this dental nurse has said, I'll see you in the evening after my job, 9:30. But anyway, so while I was on that afternoon date, I couldn't believe it, but Tim said, I'm going to go out and carry on day gaming. I was like, bloody hell, man, you told me about your ratios and your numbers and things. And I was like, fair play. You're either clinically insane or you just, you know, get laid or die trying.
Both.
Yeah, correct. Definitely both.
Mad.
And so what happened? Drum roll, please.
In fact, the first set I did was, I didn't really feel like doing it, but I went out anyway. Because I didn't want to be at home in case you bounced that girl back and I had to hear lots of sex noises going on.
Guys pay for that, man.
Yeah.
But that was very kind of you. Thank you, Tim.
It's okay.
It was bloody cold.
Yes.
So you're on the street. You weren't even in the grimy tunnels.
No, I was walking just towards H&M where I was planning to go in. And just as I was walking there, I saw a girl, I think, walk out of H&M, actually, maybe. And I just stopped her, and it was a usual Japanese day game scenario where she speaks no English, and she stands there but doesn't give me anything, no English.
Everyone's completely confused.
Yes, very confused. I say, "You look nice." "You student." "You look like from London."
Don't give all your secrets away, Tim.
Okay, no, this is gold.
This is advanced level day game, you know. I love the way you know, improvise there. Right. And the verbal dexterity that this girl is enjoying, you know.
That's right, yes.
And you said to me the set was pretty shit.
Yes, even by my standards, it was shit.
So, but because we had this agreement for you to push it, what did you do?
So I just said, okay, we go for coffee. And I was expecting her to say, "Oh, no, 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 I meet friend." But in fact, she just said, "Okay."
Yeah, and she was wearing high heels. Mm-hmm. That's a clue for the rest of this story. And she followed you for a Starbucks.
Yes.
And meanwhile, I was sulking after this 3 p.m. date. And I said, "Tim, it's bloody cold. I'm going to go home and I'm going to hide in my room and just curl up in a ball in a dark room," because you had said, "I'm going to try and bounce her." Mm-hmm. And what happened next?
I think in Starbucks, I had suggested going for a walk in a park. But by the time we left Starbucks, it was starting to get dark. So I decided just to walk her to the apartment and make her a nice cup of English tea.
It's the beautiful thing about Japan. If you compare this to the Moscow mission or other countries are available. If you get a compliant Japanese girl, they have no problems with following and coming back to the apartment, do they? First date, second date. You don't get any sexual shame. But anyway, okay. And so I'm in the apartment. You're saying, "I'm coming back." I could hear the door. Beep, beep, beep.
Yes.
In comes, I turn out the lights. I put in my headphones. And then she's in the apartment. What happens next?
I take her into the living room again, get my laptop out, offer her a drink.
And where was Mr. Squishy? Had you hidden him? Because he does look like a sex toy.
He does, yeah. I think he was hiding in one of your gloves at that point, actually. He was planning to shock you when you next put on your glove.
Thank God she didn't see it. Okay. And I could hear a laptop going on. I could hear a movie in Japanese or something. I could hear you talking about her palm reading. God, that, what a cheesy PUA you are.
I know, yes.
Where did you get this shite from?
I've got no idea.
I could hear you comparing hand sizes and and then it all went quiet and I could just hear a movie and I was thinking, what is Tim doing? What is going on in there?
Yes, I was watching, we were watching a Japanese horror film.
And?
And I was, what was even more scary is trying to make the first move, of course. I was trying to...
Oh, by the way, sorry, she didn't have tea.
She didn't have tea, no, she went for some alcohol.
You gave her the option and you opened the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting that she chose like a cocktail.
Yes, whiskey and soda.
Yeah, in a can. In Japan. So second interesting thing. Okay.
So we were holding hands. She was kind of occasionally into it, sometimes not into it. And I started to go further.
Did you make out with her then?
Yes, actually.
And then how did you know to make the big move?
She just asked me to turn the lights off.
Oh, classic. Okay. And you're still in the living room?
Yes, so I thought at that point, well, I can just lead her into the bedroom and turn the lights off in there.
And you left the laptop in here?
I did.
Yes. Her phone was left on the table, and I just heard you guys go into the room, and I thought, game on. So?
Yes, from there, it was all fairly smooth.
This is the bit where a wing has to be honest, right? I'm in the room, and 50% of me, I genuinely was half and half, 50% of me was obviously thinking, fucking brilliant, you know? I can hear these weird Japanese sex noises and weird grunts from an English, Scottish, Belgian guy. And I thought, good on you, Tim. This is amazing. Same day late. And I, hot, as we discovered afterwards, 21 years old.
Yes.
But a half of you, obviously, if you're with a wing, and you haven't got laid and you're listening to that lying on your bed in the dark is just thinking, fuck, you know, fuck. And by this time, I should say, my evening date looked like she was flaking because she said, I'm busy at work, will be late. So I was thinking, okay, we come right down to the wire here. And, oh, I should say that as I think you had started having sex with her, did you hear that alarm going off on her phone?
Yes, I thought it was a film, actually.
Yeah, I thought it was a film. But for a couple of minutes, it carried on. Mm-hmm. And then I crept out of the room in true good wingmanship style. Mm-hmm. And I put her phone on silent because I didn't want her to run out of the room and turn her phone off. But anyway, I thought, OK, well, I've heard enough of these sex noises. I'm going to go out for some fresh air. So I messaged you. I'm just going out to enjoy the lay. And it was cold and it was dark. And this is where, if you're religious and you believe in the day game gods and the sacrifice of a slug on a fire, you might think, well, this is amazing. And I've got the timings on the phone and I sent you a screenshot. This happened. But I walk out of the apartment and a different girl from, I think, week one, was it? The one that said she was going to come over for cooking?
Oh, yes, that one, yeah.
I'd had an instant date with a kind of a weird sexual vibe. And she wouldn't come back that day. She said, she'll come over for cooking. La-di-da, she flaked. And anyway, this girl out of the blue just says, where are you? I'm nearby. And I said, oh, I'm near as well. Let's meet. We meet, and I'm rapidly texting you, Tim, I've met a different girl, and I'm going to bring her straight back to the apartment, because this girl had said to me, I only have a few hours, and I sent you the screenshots. So you very kindly did what?
At that point, I'd finished my evil deeds. So me and the girl I bounced back went out for some food.
Yeah, and you say, I'm coming out now, I'm in the lift, and me and the other girl walk past you, and you blank me. Yeah. And I get this girl, without a coffee or anything, into the elevator, up to here. I made her a cup of tea, I think. Or was that this? I can't remember. Yes, I think we had a cup of tea, or no. I put a drink down on the table, whatever, but we didn't even get that far. Didn't even open the laptop. We started making out, took her to the room, because it had been a very sexual instant date. And I'm thinking, this is amazing. This is within half an hour of Timmy's bang. Mm. And this is where I would say pieces are smashed onto the floor. I got naked, she got naked. Let's say there was a happy blowjob. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, right, got ready to have sex. And she was like, no. And I was thinking, oh, she means no without a condom. Mm-hmm. I go, actually, put on a condom. Forgive me if you're listening to this at work. And I stand there. And she's just like, no sex. And I'm confused. And I do the roll off. And I do the normal two steps forward, one step back. And anyway, she just says, no, I crazy girl about sex. Not today. No. So I didn't push it, obviously, and it finished with just kind of a sorrowful ejaculation and no lay.
And a big, lovely bush.
I wasn't going to say the bush bit, but she did have a big bush, yeah, which I'm not a fan of, but you are, Tim.
I love a big bush.
And so I think you messaged me and said, how's it going? And I said, you know, epic failure. For some guys, that would be good. But I just wanted to put P in V. So for me, it was like, and it was like wasted energy. All that pent-up horniness had quite literally been expelled. And I walked that girl to the tube, to the local metro, and kind of knew that she was a game player, she was a time waster, I wouldn't see her again. And I went to a local bar and thought, oh, I'll have a beer, and I messaged him. And you said, oh, I've just eaten with that girl and we're going to go back to the apartment and have more sex. Was it something like that?
That's right, yes, because the first time wasn't completely successful due to some size compatibility issues.
Your very small penis.
Yes.
And her extremely large.
That's right.
Vag.
That's.
She said, is it in?
She did, yes.
I understand, Tim, I understand. And so you were back here doing the deed. I was in a bar and it was raining outside and I was just thinking, oh, God, you know, this evening one's definitely flaked now. I wasn't getting any messages. I think you said it was safe to come back or something like that. So I crept back in. This was now pretty late in the evening. And I remember meeting you in the kitchen and congratulating you and you said, oh, she's going to sleep over. And just at that point, do you remember I showed you my phone? The dental nurse agreed to come out at 10 p.m. So I said to you, Tim, do you have any Cialis? Because I'm just not in the mood. And what happens if I pull this girl back and it's on? And magically you did.
Good old Uncle Tim has everything in his gigantic big suitcase.
Yeah, that's what the Japanese girl told me. And you gave me a cheeky Cialis. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I'm not going to drop it. I'm not going to take it because it has side effects, which I've had before. I'll only take it if this girl bounces. So anyway, here's where my roller coaster really began for the day. I had gone up and down and up and down. And I went to meet this girl at... Oh, is that another one? Mm. Who's that one? Tim's just got a text message. Is that the bird from yesterday?
No, this is from a while back.
This week?
This week.
I don't like the sad crying face though.
No.
I can kind of guess what that means.
Let's put this into Google Translate.
Okay, while you're doing that, I'll say the beginning of this story, right? That I go down 10 p.m. thinking this girl is 21. She's got to get home probably within an hour or two, so I'm just going to go for it. I meet her at the meeting place. She's all dolled up, actually, after work. I walk her to one bar, which is halfway between the meeting point and our place, and we have a quick... whiskey coke, and I'm doing the hand holding. I'm looking into her eyes. I'm saying she's got dangerous eyes. I'm doing the triangular gazing. I ask her to stand up. How tall are you? And I'm like, it's on. So I message you. Do you remember, Tim? I'm bouncing home.
Yeah.
What did I say for you to do?
Just hide the shoes.
Yeah, hide your one shoes. And you said, oh, my one's sleeping. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, okay. So amazingly, again, for English tea, this girl seems to know what's up. No questions at all. She walks straight into the lift. She walks straight down the corridor. And we don't have a key. We have a keypad. And on this trip, I've never forgotten the code, have I?
No.
And I stood at that door last night and I had a blank. I couldn't remember the code. And I tried it a few times and the door was... saying no. So I started hammering on the door.
I could hear you, yes.
Fuck you, Timothy. I was thinking, this is going to be blue balls number three. And you kindly came and opened the door in your...
In my towel.
In your towel. And I was thinking, this is going to freak out this girl. But it didn't seem to.
No.
She was so sweet. She was perhaps innocent, but as it turned out, not so innocent. But she was just a lovely girl. And so very kindly, Tim hid in his room, in his towel, with his girl who was asleep. I brought her here. I think the laptop went on. I made her tea. Actually, I made her tea. And very quickly, we were making out, wandering hands. I was thinking, okay, this is definitely on. Tom, take your time. Don't rush this one. So we watched a bit of the film, took it into the bedroom. GYDO, get your dick out. She was really into it, so I'm mentally just going, this is, yes, this is it. Okay, again, take your time. And when I went to put my hand down there, she just went, no. And I was like, okay, this is normal, token playfulness. And roll off, try again, no. And I pointed, I said, oh, your woman's day, period. Yes, it's my period. And I could feel actually over her clothes. Some kind of massive like nappy pad. Get off, Timothy. He's trying to reconstruct it for a cheeky grope. And anyway, she wasn't telling a lie. She was embarrassed and I did all the usual things about, look, we can use a towel, it's okay, it's natural, I like it. But she was like, no, next time, next time, next time. So I kind of resigned myself to thinking, fuck, okay, just another hand job. And we were making out, but I could see she was horny. And when I bit her neck or was talking into her ear or just telling her what I'd do to her, she was really into it. And then suddenly, trousers off, it was in. P was in V and I was a happy bunny and it was all good. And I knew Tim was just a thin Japanese wall away, probably with his kinky ear to the wall.
I was, yes.
Dirty bastard. As his hottie slept next to him. And that was that. And then we crept into the kitchen afterwards. I think when I dropped mine back off, and we deconstructed it all. I went and bought you some celebratory food. What did I buy you, Timothy?
You bought me a cream custard.
And that's not a euphemism. And the slug was saved.
The slug was saved.
He turned out to be quite a lucky slug. Yeah. We shook hands. We said, good trip. We had, I certainly had one of these. A Japanese chocolate-coated vanilla cream sandwich pie.
Yum, yum.
Which has replaced our Tim Tams. And again, that's not a euphemism. You love these vanilla cream sandwich pies.
I do. They're not as good as my delicious cinnamon rolls, but...
Or the Tim Tams.
No.
But these will do if you're ever in Japan. Get a choco pie. So Mr. Sluggy, Mr. Squishy survived another day. We woke up today thinking, mission accomplished, really. And we did all our stats, and they're actually not too bad. When we reflect on how many approaches to numbers, to dates, to near misses, to lays, it's pretty, well, better than Tokyo for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not as good as the second city.
No.
But better than Tokyo.
Yep.
And pretty good compared to actually to where you live in China.
That's right, yes.
And she was good yesterday, wasn't she?
Yes, yeah. Shaved bush, but you can't have everything.
And she stayed over, and I woke up this morning slightly groggy from the booze and the Cialis, and I thought, that's a weird alarm clock or a drill outside. I could just hear, so thank you, Tim, for waking me up.
That's okay.
With Japanese porn. And then we just had a day after day, and ironically it rained all day, but there you go. Can you pick up the pieces from disaster? Yes, you can. Was it perhaps one of the hardest day game trips I've done mentally? Yeah, this was even harder than Moscow. I don't know why. I was just... it was just the pure flakes, I think. And for you, you had highs and lows?
That's right. More than the last few Japanese trips, or the last two trips.
Yeah, and were there times when you thought, self-pity?
Oh, yes, definitely. I was seriously considering jumping off the top of this apartment.
No, you weren't, Tim. But you were thinking of stopping day game. Or thinking this... I remember thinking, saying to you probably over a beer, this is just not going to work.
Mm, yes.
The self-pity usually at the beginning of a trip when you think, fuck, this is hard. There's self-pity in the middle when you think, I'm not going to make it, which was my self-pity. And right near the end, you think, I'm going to pass out here. This is like a marathon. And that was me sitting in that bar alone yesterday thinking, what's the fucking point, you know? But there you go. It's part of the game. It's inherent in the game. I'm lecturing you, but I went through all this week. Can you beat yourself? Would you agree, Tim, this is a mind game?
It is, yes, definitely.
Rather than any other game.
Mm.
If you can survive the mind game, you'll get laid.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had stopped approaching at the end of week one, well, after some failures, we'd have probably hated this city and probably given up on Japan.
Quite possibly, yes. And I always thought Japan was my one good country, my most successful country, so it would have been...
Yeah, I said to you, didn't I, if I can't believe we're failing because it's going to make me not want to come back to Japan. We've always succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go. This podcast has gone over time, but it was worth telling those stories because yesterday was like some fucking Lord of the Rings. I went to sleep thinking... That was a crazy, crazy day. And was it fate? Was it Mr. Squishy?
It was Mr. Squishy, definitely.
Was it that trip to the Japanese temple we went to? Well, was it Justin Bieber singing in a bar, actually? As I was on my own, I should say drinking that beer, Justin Bieber, often a wingman for me to get laid because girls put him on, he started singing that song, Everything's Gonna Be All Right. However,
I thought that was E17.
Well... Either of them helped me, Timothy.
Okay.
I smiled and said, thank you, Justin. Everything's going to be all right. And it was.
It was.
Well, Timothy, grandfather time is upon us.
Yes.
You need some sleep because your bird is coming over tomorrow for another smashing.
Yes. And may I say, what a lovely cardigan.
Thank you, Mavis. And on that note, we shall say soupy twist.
Soupy twist.